This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV show on Free Speech TV and on our website. Donald Trump's business dealings with China and the suspicion that the communist nation is currying favor with the U.S. president is a symptom of China's importance in world trade today. The Made in China label is ubiquitous in all sorts of products, from clothing to electronics and everything in between. It's no wonder then that the country has become the target of significant immigration of ordinary people searching for opportunity. A new documentary focuses on African migration to China, specifically to the busy port of Guangzhou. About 500,000 Africans from countries like Ghana and Kenya travel to Guangzhou each year looking to buy and sell products. Many choose to overstay their visas and remain, even raising families and attempting to start a new life. In our age of globalization and neoliberal capitalism, the story of Africans in China shouldn't be a surprise, but there are many complexities and nuances as to why people migrate, and my guest, Christiane Badgley, explores those in a new documentary. Badgley has been producing and editing documentary films for the past 20 years, with much of her work focused on the U.S. criminal justice system, as well as post-colonial African politics and history. Her earlier films include Pipeline Dreams, A Journey Along the Chad-Cameroon Oil Pipeline, and she now joins me to discuss her latest documentary, Guangzhou Dream Factory. Welcome to the program, Christiane.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So first, let's talk about what led you to make this documentary. I mean, frankly, I think I certainly was not aware of the fact that there was significant enough African migration to China that it would warrant a documentary. I'm guessing many of my audience members also hadn't thought about that. Where did the journey for you begin to making such a documentary?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been working in Africa for a number of years, and over the last decade or so, I've seen the influence of China, both in terms of Chinese goods that are now widely available in Africa and have had a huge impact on African consumption, and also growing numbers of Chinese who are in Africa. So it's been something that's been interesting to me. And a number of years ago, I had a colleague in San Francisco, my co-producer on the project, Erica Marcus, and she has a long history working in China. So the two of us got together, and this was sort of the logical place for us to explore. And we felt that the story of Africans in China was one that really needed to be told. And that's how we started working on the film.
Well, I want to play the trailer of the documentary for our audience. Here is Guangzhou Dream Factory's trailer.
My name is Sami, I am from Sudan.
Hello, I'm Catherine from Tanzania.
Bonjour, moi je viens de Mali.
Hi, Lisa Lopes, I'm calling you.
Hi, my name is Ryan, I'm from Kenya.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Sophie Diam, je viens de la Côte d'Ivoire.
Most things in China is industries, factories, and shops, make and sell and buy, you know. This place is a new world. It's a land of opportunity.
She behaves like Chinese people. Sometimes I tell her, you are not a Chinese, you are from Nigeria. She was born here, she has been living here. So they say when you are in Rome, you act like the Romans.
I would have loved her to continue studying here. If only the immigration would give us valid papers to remain in China.
Before I came to China, I was a sales lady. I was told by an agent there are well-paying jobs in China, teaching jobs in China. And that's how I decided, oh, I should leave whatever I'm doing. Me, I paid that 250,000 Kenya money. She never secured a job for me.
There are con men all over the world. They will come to you, seduce your parents or you. You have small business. They will tell you to sell the business. You go to China. When you reach here, you're You don't have anything. You cannot go back. Some of them come with one-way ticket. You cannot go back.
And you've been watching the trailer of the documentary Guangzhou Dream Factory by my guest Christiane Badgley. Why Dream Factory? I'm assuming the idea of factories, which are of course where these products get made, is the imagery that you were trying to invoke, that there are, you know, in a way, metaphorical factories that manufacture dreams?
Yes, I mean, China is now becoming a it's a land of dreams for many people in Africa. They're hearing about the success of China, the power of China, all the money in China, and it has become almost not exactly mythical, but it's definitely a country that inspires dreams for many people in Africa. So that's a little bit where the name came from.
You open your film talking about how you had once bought a knife in Ghana that was an amazing locally produced product, and you went back years later, tried to find another one, couldn't, and suddenly the market is flooded with Chinese products. So let's first talk about how African countries themselves and their economies are now dominated by products made in China, and how that plays into the forces that kind of propel people to go to China looking for jobs and opportunities. How deep an influence do Chinese products play in African economies?
I think the influence of Chinese products is huge. Chinese consumer goods have completely changed life across Africa. I mean, there's just the availability of cheap consumer goods has made a huge difference for people's everyday lives. And for the most part, the impact has been good. I mean, of course, when you can afford things that previously were completely out of reach, it radically changes your existence. But as I point out with the story about the knife, these products have also, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, they are so cheap. It really means that most African makers of goods cannot compete with the Chinese. They just don't have the economy of scale. So at the same time, the Chinese goods have improved lives for millions of people. They've also created difficulties in terms of local manufacturing, local production. But as you'll see in the film, those difficulties are also leading people to go to China and start new businesses, buying goods in China and bringing them back to sell in Africa.
And so of those people who go to China to buy goods, some simply choose to stay, hoping that they can take advantage of the opportunities in China, right?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, the bulk of the Africans that you meet in China, in Guangzhou, are traders. They're in China for business. They're not planning to stay more than a few weeks, maybe a few months. But there are people who are trying to set up life in China. They're trying to, you know, set up businesses in China, trying to run operations from China. And they are, in fact, the people who have led to the development of this African community in Guangzhou.
Now, in the trailer we watched, there were you sort of heard of where people were from: Sierra Leone, Nigeria. Is there any particular geographic location, particular country in China where you see more concentration of migration coming from? Because often, of course, it's a lack of economic prospects that kind of create a pressure for people to migrate when they don't have opportunities in their own country. So are there any particular places where you see people coming from more so than others?
Well, yes. I think the number of Africans in China, it's kind of a reflection of the demographics across Africa in general. So the largest group are the Nigerians, who of course Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa. So you do see people from all over the continent. Perhaps there are more people from West Africa, but you know, you can meet people from virtually every country. And as you pointed out, people are going to China in search of opportunity because they're unable to do what they'd like to do at home for a variety of reasons. Of course, some are going looking for adventure, some are students, but for the most part, it's people like immigrants everywhere looking for opportunity. But you should know that the Africans who travel to Guangzhou tend to be more middle class. I mean, there are people who can afford the airfare to get to China. There are people who have money to go and buy goods. So it's not, it's a different type of immigration than what we see on the news, you know, where we're seeing images of people on boats coming across North Africa and then the Mediterranean. This is a primarily business-oriented movement of people.
And so, you know, there's a temptation to compare it also to Mexican migration or Central American migration to the United States. But of course, you don't need as much money to cross the border by foot as you might need to fly a very, very long distance by plane. So I think that sort of naturally weeds out lower income Africans from going to China. Of course, there's a huge irony here in this whole story, which is that many of the resources that go into our modern products today are extracted by Chinese companies from African countries, right? I mean, a lot of the natural resources and wealth that power the Chinese economy are coming from Africa. And so now you do have this sort of significant African migration. What happens to people once they get there? How do they assimilate? Once they decide that this is the place they're going to try to make their lives, are people learning the language? How are they dealing with assimilating in a culture very different from their own, very geographically and culturally different?
It's a challenge. First, people have to get visas, and the Chinese immigration laws have become tougher. It is much more difficult for foreigners in general to get visas to stay in China, and for a number of African countries, it's particularly difficult. The Nigerians are a case in point. So there's the challenge of getting a visa. And if you want to go to China without a visa or just with a simple tourist visa and then stay, you know, you're going to face the challenge of being caught by the police. So just getting there and being able to stay there is not easy. But once people get there, there are difficulties because China has no history of immigration. It's a country that really isn't used to having foreigners living in the country. And for the most part, the Chinese are themselves grappling with this question. They don't really know how to deal with immigrants in Guangzhou. But people are learning the language. I mean, there are people who are marrying Chinese. There are definitely people trying to put down roots, but as you see in the film, it's not easy because there is no permanent residency for foreigners. Most of the Africans that we met, even the most successful people with families and thriving businesses, you know, every year they have to renew their visas, and every year they are uncertain about whether they'll get a new visa. So they're constantly living in a state of uncertainty, and that definitely makes integration more difficult.
Are there middlemen like you do have in so many parts of the world where you have sort of migration routes that get established, where you suddenly have the cropping up of an industry to shuttle people from one place to the other? Are there middlemen that promise some of these folks from various African countries the, you know, great jobs and help facilitate for, of course, a lucrative fee, things like visas and housing?
Yes, there are. And unfortunately, most of those middlemen are not legitimate. And there's a huge problem with visa fraud and employment scams. And, you know, you mentioned earlier in the introduction that China is the factory of the world producing goods, you know, that we all consume. And so imagine you're sitting in Nairobi and someone tells you there's a factory job for you in China. Well, of course, you're going to hear that and believe it because you know there are factories in China. Well, what those people fail to tell you is that Chinese factories don't hire foreigners. Hmm. So people will unwittingly pay agents a lot of money to get visas that are not valid. I mean, they're just maybe tourist visas or something else. They're not visas to live or work in China. And, you know, they'll go to China and find out, unfortunately, after they get there, that they've been duped. And this is a huge problem that occurs all over the continent, the African continent, these fraudulent employment agencies and these kind of scam artists who pose as agents.
So what happens to people once they get to China and find out that maybe it wasn't as beautiful, perfect, and lucrative as they thought it would be? Do you find people struggling to figure out how to now live, realizing that they may not have the money to fly back? Do you also see women migrants finding themselves being pressured into becoming sex workers?
Yes, to both questions. People get to China, they find out that they don't have the visa they think they had, they don't have the job that was promised to them, and they have to start scrambling. You'll find people doing kind of odd jobs for other Africans, for African businesses, just to earn a little cash under the table so they can survive and eventually try to start buying goods and selling goods, you know, just kind of starting from nothing, trying to at least make enough money to either stay or go home, but basically just to get by. And the problem with women is huge. There are a lot of women who go to China to do business. I mean, African women entrepreneurs are well known around the continent. I mean, in West Africa, the women run the markets. So you do meet a lot of African business women in China. But unfortunately, there's a lot of women, especially from East Africa, Kenya and Uganda in particular, that are lured into going to China, and some completely unwittingly end up in sex work. Mm-hmm. And this is a very unfortunate part of the story of Africans in China.
How do you, how do Chinese residents of Guangzhou view the African migrants? Because, you know, the, as I mentioned, the regional differences, the cultural, the geographic differences, obviously African migrants stand out in Chinese society. You know, this is not the place where you would be able to blend in as an African living in a Chinese part of the country. So in China, how do Chinese in Guangzhou view African migrants?
I'd say it's pretty mixed. There is a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of prejudice. Chinese people, many of them, are not used to seeing foreigners, blacks in particular. There are a lot of stereotypes about Africans in China, just as we have stereotypes here in the United States about Africans. You know, they're living in huts, or they're coming from war zones. You know, just the kind of media stereotypes that we have here, you know, as you can imagine, they're also playing out across China. So there are definitely misunderstandings. There's definitely prejudice. But on the other hand, you know, you'll talk to a lot of people in Guangzhou who their businesses exist thanks to the Africans. I mean, the Africans are a drop in the bucket in terms of China's population, but on the local economy in Guangzhou, you know, they do play a significant role, and there are a lot of businesses that cater to them, and there are a lot of local factories that are producing goods exclusively for African consumers. So those people in Guangzhou recognize the benefits that these African immigrants bring to their bring to them and their economy.
Christiane, what is the relevance of these stories here in the United States? I mean, like in African countries, our markets are flooded with Chinese and made in China products. You know, US consumers rely on the cheap products from China. Ivanka Trump imports a huge percentage of her products from China. But it seems as though we don't have as much. You know, I don't know if it's a big enough story for Americans migrating to China. So what's the relevance to an American audience to see this play out? Does the American hunger for Chinese goods fuel African migration to China?
It does. For us making this film, we wanted to make a couple points. We wanted a couple themes to come across. I mean, one is the notion of globalization, trade, immigration. You know, when we're here in the United States, we talk about these issues as if they only concern us. You know, we've lost our jobs. We have these problems because of China or whatever. Well, you know what? The whole world is impacted by globalization. Globalization has turned everything around everywhere. And we're all completely connected. I mean, we're in this together. So the idea that we can shut our borders or stop consuming certain products, I mean, it's a joke because that's not the world we live in. So we wanted to remind people that, you know, these questions are global questions, and we need to think about the entire world because we're all going to, you know, thrive or fail together. And we also wanted to show, you know, the desire of people to go to another place. I mean, everyone's just looking to have a better life. I mean, that's a human urge around the entire world. And we're hoping that, you know, you see this film and maybe you'll see Africans in a slightly different light. If you're an American and you don't know anything about Africa beyond what you hear on the news, we also would like people to think about globalization a little bit differently. You know, I think it is a relevant story for Americans, even though it doesn't directly, it's not a story that directly touches America.
So finally, where can people watch the film? I know you've got some screenings coming up in Oakland and you have screenings listed on your website. Presumably you're going to add some more. Give out the website and where people can watch the film.
The website is www.gzdreamfactory.com. So that's all one word, GZ Dream Factory. And yes, we post our screenings on the website. The film is screening in San Francisco and Oakland in March and April at the CAM Fest in March and at the Oakland International Film Festival in April. We have some screenings coming up in May. So if you go to our website or you like us on Facebook, Guangzhou Dream Factory, you can get updates about where we'll be screening in the United States and elsewhere.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Christiane, for joining us. Good luck to you with the film and getting it out to wider audiences. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Christiane Badgley. We're talking about her new documentary, Guangzhou Dream Factory. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.